This is kind of like, I feel like this is a good segue to talk about the negotiations coming up in Islamabad over the weekend.
Are we sure that those are going to go on? I've seen conflicting reports all morning. And because some people said, well, the plane is in the air. Other people said any idea of talks are BS, meaning the talks or the people haven't necessarily or the delegation hasn't necessarily landed in Islamabad. But the reports are conflicting. I don't know which one's true.
No, we don't know. So basically, they were scheduled, right?
Right.
And basically, the plan is for the Pakistanis to host, and the Americans are sending J.D. Vance, Steve Witkoff, who's always been Trump's envoy. He was involved in the Ukraine negotiations. And Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, of course, and the great peacemaker of the Middle East. I guess now he could finally achieve that, potentially. And the foreign minister from Iran, who... If I were him, I'd be like, hey, can I zoom in? Because what with the Israelis and everything, I'll just make this a Zoom call. But I guess, so that's the plan. It's supposed to happen tomorrow. I mean, I think the Americans are going. The question is whether the Iranians are going to show up.
Right. And,
I mean, I don't know that I would, honestly.
I don't think they should.
I would ghost those guys. The only thing that I would like, I mean, so we had Tweetgate yesterday that we talked about. We know that the Pakistanis, so basically the Iranians know that the Pakistanis have been conspiring with the Trump administration to pretend to be honest brokers, but really are kind of doing Trump's bidding to try to, basically Trump's scared to death and he knows that he's lost the war and he wants to try to save face as much as possible. Well, that's over. The Iranians know that they always knew they had the upper hand. Now they know they have the upper hand. Yeah. But if I'm the Iranians, there is one thing I really like about this. J.D. Vance. The fact is, you and I both know from the reporting that came out of the Maggie Haberman piece in the Times that J.D. Vance was the number one most strident voice within the administration against going to war with Israel against Iran.
Yes.
He is the biggest war skeptic here, and he's leading the delegation from the United States. That sends a strong signal to Iran that we're serious about trying to make nice and make peace, I would say.
Yeah, agreed. And to be clear, CBS reported that Trump knew about Lebanon being included in the deal. In fact, there are a few things with this. Mm-hmm. A, Trump knew of Lebanon being part of the deal. B, CBS was reporting that Netanyahu contacted Trump. And after that phone call, Trump comes out and says, well, Lebanon is not included in the deal, obviously. Okay, that may or may not be true. Oftentimes we get lies from the media on the relationship between Trump and Netanyahu as if there's some kind of division there, when oftentimes there's no division. Israel's just used as a scapegoat for it. Mm-hmm. We also found out, or we had news from the Supreme Leader, because one of the questions that I had was whether or not Iran was going to consider Lebanon inextricably linked to any deal that they effectively come up with. The Supreme Leader saying yes, that this idea that Lebanon is not included is nonsense. We are linked in this. We're part of a resistance front, and we are negotiating in this case, meaning the United States seemed to have made the bet that Iran would toss Lebanon over the edge in order to get a deal. Iran is saying that is not the case, hence reclosing the Strait of Hormuz. They haven't necessarily reopened attacks on Israel yet, but closing the Strait of Hormuz is a superpower in some sense. And it gets to your point of having, let's say, the whip hand in this, because back to the matter is they can close it, we can't open it, and they can destroy the global economy by doing so. So it's fascinating. And then this question of whether they're going to show up. If they ghost the U.S. delegation,
that would be my move.
Talk about power play.
Passive aggressiveness is really one of my specialties for people who know me.
Sure would be at the negotiations. It's like Tehran didn't show.
I mean, seriously, I think it would be hilarious to be like, we were going to go, and then we realized we can't trust the Israelis not to shoot our plane out of the sky, so we can't go. Sorry.
Yeah, we can't make it.
Yeah. Can't make it. Oh, and our electricity is kind of not that reliable, what with, you guys bombing us. So not really sure we can do the Zoom call. But you guys enjoy. Have some good kebabs. Let us know how it is.
You can come to Tehran.
I mean, you're like, or the Iranians might be like, you know, a free trip to Pakistan, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, whatever.
I'll be straight. Be like, look, man, you're continuing to bomb Lebanon. We told you this is fine. Because look, for my thing
the,
is.
The U.S. did agree not to
yes,
do that. Yeah.
This is a test. And it's a test for Iran. Because ultimately, are you going to go to negotiate while they're violating the ceasefire that you just put into place?
Well, and meanwhile, Trump's flipping the script, as he often does. And he's like, you know, you'd better reopen the Strait of Hormuz, like, as we agreed, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, this bluster, I mean, come on, if you're the Iranians, the whole world's just laughing at Trump now.
Yes.
Because he's been exposed.
Yeah, I'm going to end the world, or I'm going to end civilization. And then
you're not simultaneously, gonna do anything.
Hey, man, please get them to accept this deal. Oh, by the way, one of the other interesting points, the IRGC apparently wasn't on board for this. So, Arghaji, or the reporting comes out that it was the reformist government that wanted to open the strait and resume negotiations. The IRGC said no, or at the very least, they were resistant to it. And apparently, there's opposition or there's division within the IRGC on whether or not to even open the strait in the context of these negotiations. Obviously, they reclosed it. But
six ships made it through yesterday, which is a trickle. No oil tankers, but I think no oil tankers are. I think it's more that the oil tankers don't want to make the run, right? They're scared.
They don't want to make the chance. Yeah, but it's fascinating. It seems like the IRGC is the one that's in control of closing the strait.
Yeah,
and the government itself is effectively having to negotiate with the IRGC to even go with these negotiations.
I mean, the thing is, though, the civilian government, like the reformist faction, as you characterize them, they're weak sisters within the Iranian government. They always have been. I mean, there are always figures, even more hardline ones like Ahmadinejad, but all those guys, they don't really have a lot of power within the government, right? I mean, the IRGC sort of like, they really run things on the ground. They're controlling the Strait of Hormuz. They control the missile batteries. I mean, they're going to decide really what happens here. And with the country at war, that goes for tenfold.
Yeah, and that's what it seems to be. The IRGC seems to have, let's say, the whip hand in this.
They do. I mean, the Iranians hold all the cards. If anything, I mean, from my view, the biggest mistake the Iranians could do would be to not allow the Trumpies and their Israeli allies a graceful exit here. I mean, because it's almost too lopsided. And that's what scares me in this whole scenario, is that Trump's going to feel trapped and stuck, not know what to do. The entire global economy hangs in the balance. It's already started to circle the drain. We can see it coming. It's moving in slow motion. It's like we're all tied to the train tracks, like, you know, like with the evil guy standing nearby, twisting his mustache. But you can see it coming, you know, from across the horizon. You know, by the middle of next month, we're going to be fucked. And Trump knows it. So what if Trump decides, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I have to nuke Tehran. And so the Iranians have to give something that makes Trump's going to have to say, you know, J.D. Vance behind closed doors is going to have to say, you have to give me something I can take home so that we can present domestically that we didn't get reamed here. And the question is, what will that, will the Iranians be willing to do that? And if so, what will it be?
See, for me, I think this is a watershed moment. And I think from the Iran's point of view, they've been pecked at. They've been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Their scientists have been murdered. They've murdered Soleimani. They've been attacked during negotiations.
6 years ago, Soleimani. It's been a while.
It's been a while. But I guess I'm pointing out that there is...
It's been going on over years, though. I'm agreeing.
It's been going over years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even going back to Dick Cheney...
And the sanctions.
And so it's like, if you're Iran and these guys have attacked you maliciously, you need to demonstrate victory. I feel like this is what the Russians saying, right? Ukraine needs to be seen to lose and to lose monstrously. And I feel the same thing with the U.S. The U.S. needs to lose. Meaning Iran needs to maintain the integrity of Iran, and they need to show legitimate deterrence from the standpoint of Israel or the United States to not do this again in 6 months.
All right, let's go through the points of what each side has to have. I think that's really important. And then let me just ask Robbie something. Robbie, do we have an ad by any chance?
We do. I'll throw it up for you. Give me just one moment here.
Okay, cool. All right, and then we'll start that in the middle of that. So, all right, first of all, the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, ultimately Iran wants that. And the U.S. needs it, has to have it, right? Has to. So the question is, how does that look? So, JT, the way I think this goes down is that the strait reopens and there's going to be tolls.
Yes. Well, they're tolls now. In fact, they've been tolls since March.
Maybe smaller tolls, but there will be tolls.
Yeah. They're saying $1 per gallon or something like that, or $1 per liter or whatever the number is.
Yeah. That's too much, really, for like an ongoing scenario. But that... Mm-hmm. That gives Iran something that it wants but doesn't have to have. Iran wants reparations. But if it can go to its people and say, listen, we're going to have this toll we never had before, that will pay for reparations. Right. That helps them domestically.
I think they're making that argument. If I'm not mistaken, the Supreme Leader made something similar to that argument in his speech, mm-hmm. that the toll system, basically, these are sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are sanctions.
And here's the sticky wicky for these negotiations. Iran wants a permanent solution. No more Israeli and or American strikes. They want, call off your Israeli dog and you guys don't fucking, we're not going to be back at this next year. You got to stop. Right. Okay. So that sounds to me like it's at bare minimum an armistice. It might even be a peace agreement. It's a treaty obligation, right?
Right.
It is. I mean, it's not an executive order. So for the United States to give that, but Iran has to have that, right?
Well, that's what they want. They're saying we want
this. And I think they have to have it. I don't think the Iranians can make any deal without that.
Right.
So here's the problem for Trump. First of all, I guess he's got it. Can he get it ratified through the United States Senate? Treaty obligation, I think, requires a two-thirds vote from the U.S. Senate. Yes. Good luck getting the U.S. Senate to agree two-thirds on anything, right?
Yep.
Except for giving themselves a raise. So, okay, but he's going to have to, I guess he can control his conference, but then, Democrats be warmongers. They might not want to do it.
They're not going to do it. He's going to lose Congress. He's not going to get two-thirds. Let's say for the moment, as hypothetically, mm-hmm. that Donald Trump had, 65 Republicans in the Senate, 70 Republicans in the Senate. Hell, right. Let's make it 80. He still wouldn't get that pass.
You don't think?
No. I don't, the likes of Lindsey Graham, the likes of, I'm trying to think of some of these other warmongers. Many of these people were perfectly okay with war in Iran. They were.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't want to be humiliated.
They just didn't want to lose. Yeah.
Right. They just didn't want to lose. So it's not like, oh my God, I can't believe the president is attacking Iran. It's, oh, the president has humiliated us in attacking Iran. Those are different things, right? I think he would have a hard time getting it through, just like I think.
And of course, obviously, that's not the situation. And if this negotiation drags past November, or I should say past December 31st, there might be a Democratic Senate, but I think so. Basically, you're saying between Democratic, obstructionism and warmongery and the non-MAGA Republican senators, there's no fucking way he'd be lucky to get like 30 U.S. senators.
Yeah, I don't buy he gets this through.
I agree with that. That's
scary. The same thing with the Russians, right? Because the Russians are saying the same thing. And by the way, they should say it. Like, this is not like.
You could sign a treaty. However, okay, there's another way. You can sign a treaty, and then you say, "Well, I signed the treaty. The Senate didn't ratify it. The United States has done that before."
With Obama, right?
Right.
With the JCPOA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried to get the Senate to ratify. There's been various nuclear non-proliferation accords that were like that. They were kind of considered the law of the land because the president and subsequent presidents. Liked it and agreed with it, but it wasn't officially a treaty obligation. Right. I guess the question is, can the Iranians accept that? They might have to.
They're going to have to.
And then, okay, and then the really hard part is, how can the United States make a, I mean, they have to get the Israelis to sign off on this too. Will they? Under any, is there any condition on which, under which Netanyahu can go back to Tel Aviv and tell the Israeli people, yeah, we will never attack Iran again unless, like, they attack us militarily?
But see, I mean, it depends. I mean, for one, the question, I think the question is, will Trump do it? I mean, obviously, the president can get up. Do you remember the Ronald Reagan? You know this. You're a student in history. Well, Ronald Reagan calls Israelis, basically, you know, cut that shit out. And then when he hangs up the phone, he's like, wow, I didn't realize I had the power to do that. It's like, dude, you're supplying. You're the lifeblood.
Totally.
You know, like
$4 billion a year, all because of Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, but I guess my thing is the idea that we give them financial support, we give them billions every year, like $10, $50 billion a year. We protect them in the United Nations. We protect them against other countries that have been calling them genocidal maniacs. Mm-hmm. And then we turn around and say, we have no power over Israel. They're rogue actor.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Get out of here.
That's absurd.
Point is, Trump calls Daniel and says, cut this shit out. He cuts this shit out. Will he do it? It's the question. And the answer is probably no.
Well, he would. Okay, so that's where, if this all falls apart, it falls apart there. Right? Yeah. I mean, so then what happens? Again, that's when we get into Ted's late waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just thinking about all this. And my mind races and I think Trump nukes Tehran.
I don't see, I have a hard time seeing it. But maybe because it's so big.
Harry Truman nuked two Japanese cities, neither of which were civilian targets.
Yeah, but that's different.
Is it?
Like, that's in this kind of major war where life just doesn't matter for most of the populations. Like, meaning, when you've wiped out millions of people in a conflict, it's like, okay, what's another 10, 15, 100,000, 2,000 more? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the numbers start to get goofy at a certain point, and the numbers seem less real. This would be a war regression out of the blue, for the most part, where Trump nukes Iran. That, like, that is...
Well, I agree. It's fucking insane. But we do a lot of, look, starting this war was fucking insane in the first place. And the thing is, you know, once you unleash the dogs of war, you end up with an inherently unpredictable set of circumstances. But in some respects, they're very predictable. And like that we would end up here was kind of, you know, could have been foreseen easily.
Well, yeah, it was foreseen. Yes. Because at least for me, I didn't think that we had the capability. I thought it was insane attacking Iran. And I was like, but even like, it's the idea that we've been at war in Ukraine for what, 4 years? A major war. That's like one of those First World War type pitch battles that is effectively taking place in regards to two
trench warfare. Military.
Exactly. Where you're using huge amounts of munitions. You are scrounging around the world to try to find air defense missiles. Your capability of building those missiles are limited. And even the capability of the weapon systems that you have at your disposal are somewhat limited. You're not in a wartime economy. You're in a normal economy with a capitalist economy of that where you have to buy that stuff and that stuff is limited in regards to supplies. And then you say, screw it. Let's have another war. Meaning you don't have the capabilities that you're claiming that you have at your disposal. And yet you're still going to war with Iran. I had Colonel Wilkerson on the show. Wilkerson said, we will be defeated. He said it flat out. We were defeated. The war is not over. So don't get me wrong. I'm not being triumphant. But I am pointing out.
It's a zombie war. Yeah. It just goes
kind
on.
Of, yeah.
It's sort of like the Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812. Like, why are we fighting this? I just didn't get the mail that it was over.